มันยังมาเสียมสงัดไปนึงนะครับเดี๋ยวไปเลยครับ
I would like to begin by welcoming everyone here today. I am glad to see so many that are met together with us. I know that it is very hot in here, but I am thankful that you are willing to be hot to hear the message that we present. I am thankful for all of the children from Pure Religion Orphanage that were able to come with us today. They helped to make the singing sound very good. I am thankful for the privilege of being here for my third time to visit at this church. I understand there are some here who are here for the first time to hear the gospel today. And I want to welcome you to this place. To begin, I would like for everyone who believes that Jesus, He is the only God, to raise your hand. Raise your hand and let me know if you believe Jesus, He is only God. The only God.
Yes.
Okay. I thank you very much. That way I have idea of who are believers in the crowd. Okay, everyone be quiet and listen while we speak. I am here today to worship with you the only God, the creator of heaven and earth. And I am here to tell you that His name is Jesus Christ. And to tell you what that means for me and for you. We read from the book we call the Holy Bible. It tells us everything we need to know about God and about ourselves. It tells us about the beginning of the world when it was created. The very first verse of the Bible, the first words say, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And then we come to the second half of the book, what we call the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we are told that the God who is the creator of the heaven and the earth, He also called Himself Jesus, and His Son, He come to earth as the Son. This Creator God, He is a very complex individual. There is only one God, but He is understood as three individuals. He is three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So as we understand this, we come to worship Him. Because it is in Him that we live and we have our being. We read now from Galatians chapter 4. The New Testament book of Galatians. Let us listen. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. 3, 4, and 5, I'm sorry. And 6. 3 through 6. Can read. Brother Dara,
yes.
I need you to read so it's loud enough that everyone will hear. Okay. Everyone be quiet and listen. This is God's word that he write. Brother Dara is going to read again loud so you can hear. Amen. I want to tell you first about something that we all have in common. There are some things that all of us in this room we can share with each other. One thing is that we are all human beings. We are all men and women. As men and women, we all have one thing in common. We all have sin. Whatever the rule or the law that we acknowledge, we all have broken it. There are laws that are established by men, laws that we have to obey. The law in Cambodia, it say if you have the motorbike, you have to have the license. The law, it say if you steal the cow, you have to repay the cow. Maybe it say if you kill the cow, you have to go to jail. The law, it is enforced to all of us that live under the law. There are the law that's the laws of God. The universal law that say it is wrong to kill the people. That say it is wrong to tell the lie. And all of these laws, they show that we all have to obey them. And all of us, we fail in some point. The law say in every case it is wrong to tell a lie. But if anybody in this room, from the youngest child to the oldest person, say, I have never told a lie, then I say you are a liar because you just lie to me. The law, it show that we all are sin. And the God that I speak to you about today, he is so holy, he is so righteous. That he cannot behold sin except he judge it. And the judgment for sin, it is a terrible thing. You know, sometime brutal regime, they come into power and they say, if you break the law, you will die. And maybe what happened, if you break the law, they will come and they will shoot you, or they will hit you in the head and kill you. Maybe some people, they come up with the idea of the religion that say, if you commit the sin, a lot of sin, then not only will you die, but maybe you will live another life and will suffer for the sin of the previous life. Some people, they teach, oh, if in this life you commit the sin, then in the next life you will have it more difficult than in this life. But God's word, it tells us the truth about this. It says the penalty for sin, for even one sin, it is death. But not just the death of the body, the eternal punishment and suffering of the soul that lives on. So because we are human and we all share this sin, we are all guilty. We know that we all have a problem. It is a very big problem, this sin. You who are sinners, everyone who is a sinner, you deserve to die. Not just for your body to die, but for your soul to go to suffer forever in a place called hell. So this verse that we read say, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Before we understand what I am to share with you today, we are all under sin and we all are in bondage. We are in prison to sin, knowing that there is nothing that can help us to escape. There is nothing that can deliver us from the death that belongs to us for our sin. I am so thankful for verse 4 and 5. When the time was right, God the Creator, God the Father, He sent forth His Son. His son was born of a woman, and he was born subject to the same law. But there was an important difference when God's son was born into the world. Like each one of us, he was a human being. But very different from us, he had no sin at all. He was born without sin. And he came for a purpose. He came to redeem us who were under the law, that we might be made the sons of God. He came to redeem us who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of children. And then, because we are His children, He sent forth His Spirit to us. So if we are to begin to understand the power of God that I speak of today, we must understand that we are sinners before God. If there is anyone who says today, "Oh, I do not have sin," then I do not speak to you. The message, it is not for you. If you say, "I am a pretty good person, I do not need a savior, I do not need a redeemer," then this Savior, He is not for you. Now, I do not say you are without sin, because you are a sinner, and you will die the death for the sin. But I say to you, if your conscience is clean, if you say, "I have no sin," then you will die in your sins. This Savior, He did not come for you. But for you who, like me, understand that you are a sinner, if you know that you tell the lie, that you have stolen, that you have hurt people, that you have not obeyed God's word in your life, then I hope that, like me, you know that you need the Savior. So now we read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matai champuk mui ka mapai mui. Correct?
Yeah.
More or less? Everyone laughs at me. Do they laugh because I say wrong or because they think it's funny that I say?
No, they laugh because you speak.
Because I try to speak Khmer. Okay. Yeah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Before Jesus was born into the world, He was born in a very different way. He was born to a woman who had never known a man. The young woman, she was not married and she had never had the man. So her husband-to-be was very upset when he found out that his wife, she is with child. So God sent the messenger, the angel, to speak to the husband. To say to him, "Your wife, she has not been unfaithful to you." This child that she will give birth to is the child of God. So in verse 20 he says, "Don't be afraid to take her as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And then verse 21, he gives him the name. He says, "The child that is going to be brought forth, you shall call his name Jesus," which means Savior, "for he shall save his people from their sins." All of this happened about 2,000 years ago. Maybe 2,005 years ago, maybe 5,000 miles or 10,000 kilometers from here. And this child, he was not like any child that was ever born before. This child, he had no sin. This means he did not, as a baby, lie to his mother. He did not cry saying, "I am hungry," if he was not hungry. He was obedient to what his mother and father said do. If they said lie down and take a nap, he did not stay awake and try to play. When his mother said be quiet, he did not continue to speak. He grew in wisdom and knowledge before men. They saw this child grow up. And he was very different because he always did what was right. And then his word tells us that he grew to be about 30 years old. He began to teach and he began to preach. He began to tell people to repent, to do good work. But he also began to give people hope. He began to preach to poor people, to people who were poor and who were known to be sinners, people whose rulers kept them down and said, "You have no hope of heaven because you are a sinner." In Matthew chapter 5, we read the gospel that Jesus preached. Jesus introduced his word to these people by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the ones that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, Jesus said there are blessings to those that the world sees no encouragement for. The poor, the sorrowful, the merciful, the ones with a pure heart, and the ones who desire righteousness. So you see why I said to you when we began, if you do not feel yourself to be a sinner, if you say, "I have need of nothing," if you say, "I am already righteous," then this message, it is not for you. Jesus, he says, you are blessed if you desire righteousness. Because he has the answer for what is righteousness. And my friends, the answer is found in dependence on Jesus. He is our righteousness. Now let's go down to verse 17. Verse 17 says, don't think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law or to say it is okay to sin. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus says, I am come to demonstrate and to make perfect the law. So verse 19, he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus point their attention to the elite, the best in their society. He looked to the scribes and the Pharisees, who are like the leaders, the government officials. They're judges and they're policemen. Their prime minister, their high priest. Their monks and their scholars. And he says to them, except your righteousness is much greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You will in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, he says, there is no hope in yourselves. You have to be more righteous than these scribes and Pharisees. Then he illustrates his point. He says, you have heard that they have said you should not kill. If you kill the man, you'll be in danger of the judgment. Jesus says, I do not argue with this, but I say to you that if you are angry with your brother without cause, you'll be in danger of the judgment. If you say to your brother, you're worthless, you'll be in danger of the council. If you say, thou fool, you'll be in danger of hellfire. Has anyone here ever said to your brother or sister, you're of no value? I've said that to my employees at work. Have you ever been angry with your brother, your sister, your friend, your neighbor without good reason? Jesus says you'll be in danger for this. Have you ever said to another person, you're a fool? Jesus says, for that you're in danger of hellfire. He then says in verse 27, you've heard of old time that you should not commit adultery. But in verse 28 he says, I say to you, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery. You're already guilty. Is there any man here who's ever looked at a woman that is not your wife and thought, I like that woman, I would like to be with that woman? You're as guilty before God as if you already did it. You see, there are a great many sins and we are all guilty before God. Jesus says this is very serious, and if you are blessed of God, you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. These sins should make you mourn. You should never be like the man who says, oh, I have not committed the bad sins, so I am okay. Even the smallest of sins, the smallest of indiscretion should make you sorrowful. You should understand that you are a great sinner before God. So remember, the message today is that God sent His Son to redeem those who were under the law. Jesus says in one place, the whole do not need the doctor. But the sick need a doctor. He says, I am not sent to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We are all sinners. If we understand that we are sinners, then we should understand that we need a Savior. Now Jesus Christ came into the world to save His people from their sins. Maybe we would ask, how do we know if we are His people? Do you understand that you are a sinner? Do you understand that you need a Savior? This is a good evidence that you are one for whom Jesus Christ came. But if you believe in Jesus Christ as the only God, the Son of God, the Savior, if you understand that your works and your choice and your decision could never save you, but you believe that God sent His Son to save sinners and that you desire that salvation, if you receive Jesus Christ not only as God but as Savior, if you believe on His name, then I am here to give you great hope. We go now to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Champuk Mui. Kap Dap Pi. Let's begin with Dap Mui. Dap Mui. Until Kap Dap Bai.
Trung ban giêng mo cung nơi bên đây robot trong tay liệt trung mình ban tổ tua trung so bàn tay on nè na đây tổ tua trung cư on nè đây chưa đọc lên niệm trung nu trung ban protein hôm nay ai ban trò lọc chia con tre cư chia con diamond men cắt mau vì chim rư tam pro tra khang rục gạch rư tam chùm non nây mù nu lời cư cát mau ông pi pro
Good job, Sokai. Everyone could hear. Good job. Akun. So he says Jesus came to his own, and his own people, they were Jews like he was. Many of them believed, but many more they did not. In fact, as we will see in a moment, so many did not believe that they crucified him, they killed him. But all of them who believed him, all of them who received him, to them gave he power to become or to be called the sons of God. The same ones that believe on his name. And they believed because they were born not only of blood or of flesh, but not of the will of flesh or the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. Maybe someone says, I want to believe. How can I believe? I want to understand. How can I understand? Or maybe you say, I believe, but my neighbor, he does not believe. I believe, but I cannot make my children believe. How can someone believe? We go to John chapter 3 quickly. In John chapter 3, a man of the rulers of Israel, a man named Nicodemus, Nicodemus, he come to Jesus and he say, I know that you are a teacher who comes from God. Because nobody can do the miracles, the wonders that you do except they come from God. You see, when Jesus taught, he not only preached and taught, he also healed the sick. He also gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. You know, sometimes I think the wonder is not that more people the wonder is not that people believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Sometimes I think the wonder is that everyone did not believe with all of the miracles that he did. But Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, he scratched his head. He said, what? How can this be? How can a man be born when he is old? He said, I understand how it is to be born. The baby is small. It is inside the mother's stomach.
And the baby is born out. But how can this happen when I am old? How can I be born a second time? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have been born with the fleshly birth. And that which is born of flesh, it is flesh. And that which is born from the Spirit is spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit in order to see the kingdom of God. You must be born of the Spirit in order to believe and to understand the things of God. Now we go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Corinto Timui, Champuk P, Kodapai.
Good. Amaten yik my man.
ดับบุญ Now សាទីក្តីខាងឯវិញ្ញាណផងប៉ុន្តែមនុស្សខាងសត្វធៀមគេມັນទៅទួលសេចក្តីខាងឯវិញ្ញាណនៃព្រះទេគឺព្រោះពីព្រោះជាសេចក្តីងងងើដល់គេក៏រកក៏មិនបានទេមិនបានដែរបិទត្រង់បិទត្រង់ឯសេចក្តីទាំងនោះត្រូវពិចារណាយល់ខាង
Amen. So here we see that the natural person, the man born of the flesh, cannot understand the things that the Spirit of God will tell him. The natural man, he is a sinner. He is consumed with sin. His body is sin. His flesh is sin. His mind is sin. He will not believe what the Spirit of God will teach him. He cannot receive the spiritual thing. But the man that is born again, born of the Spirit of God, he will believe the thing that the Spirit of God teach to him. He will believe the message that I share with you today. The message of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came into the world, born as a baby. He grew up to be a man and he began to teach and to preach. His message was not like anything anyone else taught. Oh, he taught the men they should do good, they should be righteous. A lot of people teach this. The Buddha, he taught this. Later, the man Muhammad, he taught a message that was similar to this. Confucius, he teach this. A lot of people teach that we should do the good things.
Even the people, the atheists that do not believe in the God at all, they teach this. But Jesus never taught that doing good things could save us from our problem of sin. No, Jesus taught that for us to be saved, there must be a sacrifice. There must be punishment. Because our sin deserved God's wrath. Because we were enemies with God, God must destroy our sin. And our sin, it deserved death. We had no strength to be righteous and no strength to suffer for our sins. So now we go to the book of Romans, Rom Champuk Pram. Pram Mui.
មលមើកំរោនឹងកំរោមានអ្នកណាព្រមស្លាប់ស្លាប់ជំនុំមនុស្សសច្ចរិតណាស់ណាប៉ុន្តែប្រហែលមានអ្នកខ្លះអ្នកខ្លះហ៊ានស្លាប់ជំនុំមនុស្សល្អដែរតែទីដែរ
Amen. So here we see that Jesus died for sinners. And he says to us, this is the love of God shown to us. Because it might be that someone would die for a righteous person or a good person. But while we were sinners, not having done anything to draw near to God, God sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And He reconciles us to God. He appeases God's wrath.
ហើយព្រះម្ចាស់ជាអ្នកអង្វរដល់យើងជំនួសយើងហើយព្រះម្ចាស់ជាអ្នក
And has made atonement for us. So Jesus Christ dies for sinners. Now maybe someone would say, what kind of God is this that would die? What kind of strength is there in a God who is killed by sinners? They would say, if your God died, then what kind of God is that to follow? And it is understandable the natural man might say this. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. The Apostle Paul writes and says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. So now after 50 minutes of talking to you, we come to our subject, the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ died. He died on the cross, a cross of wood made by man. He seemed very weak. He was tired. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross of wood. And there he was hung for all the world to see him suffer. His enemies, they said, oh, we have defeated him. Look at him as he dies. Look at his weakness. But Jesus Christ, he showed great strength. Because he was God, he could have come off of the cross. Because he was God, he could say, no man takes my life from me. I have to lay my life down. I will agree that if Jesus was taken to the cross against his will, then he was not strong. If he was killed because he wanted to, even though he wanted to live, then maybe he was not strong. But what strength there is in a man who will go and will die because he is willing to. In a man who will suffer as no man has ever suffered. Having the strength at a moment to end the suffering. And yet he suffers anyway. A man who will suffer beatings that rip the flesh off of his back. That will suffer having the long thorns driven into his head. That will suffer the agony of gasping for breath. Let me describe for you what a cross is. It was the post that was driven into the ground. It had the crossbar that would go across. His hands are nailed into the crossbar. His feet are crossed and the spike is driven through his feet into the post. He is hung up in the air. For hours he hang there. He cannot breathe because his arms are stretched. It is very difficult for the body to survive. He had to use his legs pushing on the nail through the feet to lift up to take the breath. And all the while, Jesus could speak the word and be delivered from the suffering. But he stayed on the cross. He died on the cross. And at the moment of his death, his body is wasted. The strength has long since gone. Jesus cries out in a very loud voice. He still has the strength to scream the words. It is finished. He says, I've finished the work. I've done what I came to do. Then and only then does Jesus say these words. He says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Then and only then does Jesus die. Jesus dies in great strength. As one of my favorite American Christian songs says, when we in our weakness believe we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. When we in our wisdom believe we were wise, he became foolish to open our eyes. So the wisdom of this world says the cross, it is foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is the wisdom of God. Because you see, Jesus suffered on the cross what we deserve for our sin. Jesus suffered what we deserved. He took our sins and he nailed them to his cross. If Jesus Christ died for me, then God no longer holds my sins against me. The judgment for my sins is past. If you believe yourself to be a sinner today, and you desire a Savior, then I tell you, Jesus Christ has nailed your sins to his cross. But the good news does not stop there. Who wants to serve a dead God, a dead Savior? How truly the Apostle Paul says, if the dead do not rise, we are of all men most miserable. Who wants to believe in a Jesus who is still in a tomb? No one. But today I am here to tell you that Jesus, who is God, he is very much alive. He died, they took him off of the cross. He was buried in the tomb. But he did not stay in the tomb. For 3 days, Jesus was in the tomb. Jesus told the Jews one time, they asked him for a sign that he was the Messiah. He says, the only sign I will give you is this. I will spend 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And this is what he did. After 3 days on the morning of the third day, a Sunday morning, his disciples, they came to the tomb. The women, they wanted to take care of his dead body. But they found the stone that had covered the tomb had been rolled away. The tomb, it was empty. Maybe they thought, oh, someone has stolen his body. But then Jesus, he appeared to them. Not a different person, not a different body. The same man. One of the disciples named Thomas, he said, oh, I will not believe unless I can stick my fingers in his nail holes, unless I can stick my hand in the hole in his side. And then Jesus appeared to Thomas. He said, Thomas, reach forth your hand, touch me, put your finger in my nail prints, put your hand in my side.
And
Thomas, he said, oh, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, feel me, I am flesh and blood. I have bones and flesh. I am not spirit. Jesus is alive today. After 40 days, he appeared to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And as he spoke to them, he began to go up into the air. He was raised up to heaven where God is. As his disciples looked up after him, the angel came and spoke to them. He said, oh, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus that you have seen go up will come again in the same way. And he'll receive you to be where he is. They were sent forth to do the will of God, to proclaim this message we call the gospel. To proclaim repentance from bad works, to do that which is good. To proclaim peace with God. To declare that Jesus Christ is the only name given among men, the only name in the world that is salvation. If you desire salvation today, salvation from sin to righteousness, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, Then the message of the gospel proclaims to you, turn to Jesus. Look to Him. There is no salvation in any other. If you turn to Jesus Christ and you trust Him and Him only, and you give your life to serving Him in righteousness, if you devote your heart to Jesus Christ, then you will know that He died for you. You will know that He lives for you. That He makes intercession for you. And you will find peace in every circumstance of life. There will be joy in believing, though you are poor and though you are sick. I do not offer you riches. I do not offer you money. I do not give to you health, good health, and happiness. I give to you the only thing that I have to share of eternal value. I give to you the name of Jesus Christ. The name which means Savior anointed. The name which carries with it all that I have shared with you this afternoon. The truth of a powerful Creator God. Who saw the damage that sin would do. Who knew that He would pour out His wrath upon sinners. And yet intervened on behalf of His people. He sent His own Son, Jesus, to save His people from their sins. If you believe in Jesus Christ today, if you believe that He is the only God and only Savior, and your only hope of life eternal, of the joy of heaven, and the presence of God in your life, then you serve Him with all of your heart. Repent of your evil that you have done. Do what is right and live. Thank you for your attention and your patience today. If there is anyone who wants to discuss more or to ask question, Brother Seta, Brother Dara, myself, Brother Abraham, we would be happy to talk with you more. I thank you again. Akun Chiran.